welcome everybody once again to the Tattoo Sisterhood Revolution virtual interview series. I'm your host, Shelley Dax, and our guest today is tattoo artist Janda Varley. But before we start our talk with Janda, for those who are new on the virtual interview series today, in this free event, I'm providing a safe space for people of diversity to discuss their experiences. We'll be talking about how their career started, what kinds of obstacles they've faced, and encouraging their best advice for you, the newcomers and the beginners in the tattoo industry. I, along with this unique panel of artists, hope to give encouragement and support. So look for the daily email so that you'll know what interview is coming up on that day. And now I'm going to tell you a little bit about Janda. So Janda is the chaotic good resident glitter demon at Three Kings Tattoo in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, New York. When Janda isn't tattooing, she's creating dark surrealism pieces via colored pencils, making sweet treats, and having many cute meltdowns over sloths. Janda was also featured in a fascinating video produced by Inked Magazine, along with three other prominent female tattooers, where they shared their own personal experiences learning the ropes and growing their careers. They cover all sorts of topics ranging from sexism and inclusion within the industry, their different apprenticeships, and how the tattoo industry has changed over the years. So check that out on YouTube. Hello, Janda. How are you today?
Hello. Oh my God, I'm so good. Thank you for having me.
Oh man, thank you for being here. I appreciate it so much. And let's just dive right in. First, just tell me a little bit about you, how long you've been tattooing, and where you started and how you got started in the industry.
Yeah, sure. Well, I've been tattooing for about 7 years now. February will make 8 years.
Nice.
Which is crazy considering. I started it off in Florida, South Florida to be specific. And mm-hmm. then I made my way up here to New York, and I've been here making a name for myself for the past 6 years now. And it's been a wild, wild ride. That's for sure.
Yes.
When I'm not tattooing, I'm also a professional artist. I think they go hand in hand. I think you kind of need to know how to draw and tattoo, but what do I know, right?
Well, absolutely, right. So professional artist. Well, then let's just go back a little ways and talk about how you came to art. And, did you go to school? Did you just do it since you were a kid? Or, you know, how did you get involved in the art world?
Well, I'm self-taught, actually.
Nice.
When I was coming up, I kind of owe it all to Sailor Moon, which is hilarious. But whenever I was a kid, like, I saw her for the first time when I stayed home from school before that was like a mainstream thing on Cartoon Network. And I was obsessed. It's like this like really, really feminine like show, these super cool badasses with like all this glitter and like, you know, it was amazing. And
yeah.
I just remember like thinking all I wanted to do was have posters of her everywhere, but obviously there were none to be found. So I taught myself how to draw her. And then from there, I taught myself how to draw like these, you know, unique characters and then storylines and comics, and things just kind of like started erupting out of me. And then I would go on the internet and look up anatomy. And, my mom is a nurse. So like she mm-hmm. would always show me like these very graphic medical textbook, you know, illustrations. And I was mm-hmm. like fascinated, and I just thought it was the coolest thing ever. And it all just kind of melted together into the manifestation of art that I do now.
Nice.
But I went to school. I went to college for animation, actually. Mm-hmm. But at the time, I was already showing as a professional artist. So whenever I talk about that, people are like, "Yeah, you went to college for art." And I'm like, "No, I went to college for animation. I was already an artist before that." But
right.
But yeah, I've learned so much through the years, and by being in contact with such amazing artists outside of the art world, especially in tattooing, it's been amazing. So it's a conglomeration of like a bunch of different effectual things in my life.
But right. Yeah. And you had support obviously from your parents or
oh yeah
no or my, whatever you were yeah that's good, because that doesn't always happen.
Oh, 100%. Like my mom was very proud of my artistic upbringing. Like she was very inspirational in the way that, you know, she was very supportive of me kind of exercising that. So, yeah.
Oh, I love that. I'm so glad. It's nice to hear that people were supported by their parents. What about getting into tattooing? When did that idea first spark in your mind?
Oh, man. So again, my mom, when I was eight years old, my mom decided that she wanted to get her first tattoo. And my perception of like a tattoo was like, basically you go into a tattoo shop and you pick something off the wall. So when she said that she wanted to get like this very specific image of like a sword wrapped in a rose vine with like a sunburst in the back, I was like, they're never going to have that on the wall. What are you talking about?
Huh.
And, she came back, like she obviously didn't take us with her, but when she came back and she showed us, I was like, oh my God, it's exactly how I thought it was going to be. And like, after that, I was like, I want to be covered in tattoos.
Wow. So, at 8 years old. That's so cool.
Oh my God. I was thrilled. And my dad already had one because he was in the army. So he had an army tattoo. And, then when my older brother was old enough, he got his first tattoo. And I was just like, I am so hooked on this. I can't wait. And from then on, it just kind of blossomed. And I gave some thought to being a tattoo artist at that time, like whenever I was like in my teenage years. But where I grew up was like very small town, rural Georgia. So like there wasn't any place even remotely reliable for something that amazing. And it wasn't until I came to Florida that I realized that like this could be a future. So I kind of pursued it down there. But
yeah, what do you mean by there wasn't anything remotely available in Georgia? What do you mean?
Well, let's just put it this way. Like the closest quote unquote tattoo shop was in a trailer, and that was like in the backwoods of like this rural town that I lived in. Nobody except like extremely desperate teenagers went there. So if I wanted to get a reputable tattoo, I had to go to Savannah, you know, like I had to go to a city to get one. And even then it was a little fishy, you know, like you're just basically, you go in there with something with very small expectations to get something pretty simple. and even then they fucked it up. So there you go.
Yeah. Wow. All right.
Yeah.
So how old were you then when you got your first tattoo?
I was 18. Okay. I waited. Yeah,
waited.
Definitely.
Did your mom say you had to? She was a nurse, right?
She was, yeah. And you know, I was always a good kid, honestly. Like I never did drugs. I didn't drink. I didn't do anything when I was growing up because I wanted so badly. Like I was very alternative looking since I was 13. So like, you know, I dyed my hair weird colors. I wore like the craziest shit, but I never did anything drug related. I never drank. I never smoked cigarettes. I was actually a very good kid because I wanted to show my parents that like, even if I was this way, I knew how to pursue a good future.
Got it.
And it didn't stop them from thinking I was a fuck up, but like, you know,
right.
It didn't, it definitely was something that I was trying to do my best on. So I did wait until I was 18 and I wanted to make sure that my tattoo looked good, or I was hoping that it would look good.
Yeah, for sure. And so then when did you actually transition into, I'm seriously going to pursue this tattoo thing?
Well, it was kind of a process for me. When I first moved to Florida, I moved in with a long-term boyfriend at that point. It was a long distance thing as well. And when I was 19, I pursued my first, apprenticeship, and it was through this really well, quote unquote, well-known shop. But you know, we talked about this previously, but like this dude would make a contract that you would sign. And the contract basically said that if you were fired or if you quit a year before this contract, you know, or a year between when this contract was signed, that you would owe this person $5,000 for the time and all the whatever that they've given you. And,
right.
I was actually saved by the person who turned out to be my actual mentor. He and my then boyfriend grew up together, and he reached out and he's like, hey, listen, I'd love to catch up, but you need to get your girlfriend out of there. That's a scam. Like you need to get her out as soon as possible. And they fought me. Like they were like, at the end of the day, they basically, I was like, well, you know, I'm not sure if it's for me, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, well, listen, you're either in or you're out. Like you can't fuck around like this, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like,
wow.
I need some time to think about this. And then like, I never showed back up.
Hardcore.
So that put a little damper on me, like, trying to pursue this wholeheartedly, because now I had to worry about people scamming me, and I was worried about people abusing me, because he was really hard. Just like, I'm a 19-year-old trying to do the best I can. I was so open to, like, learning, and he was just treating me like a bag of shit. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't really like this.
Wow. It's interesting that you actually, at the young age you were at, were still like, no, thank you. I don't want to be treated that way, because so many people I've talked to have had, you know, have gone through a very harsh apprenticeship.
Oh, 100%. And like most of the people I've talked to, you know, about their apprenticeships have gone through something, you know, equally, if not worse, you know, mm-hmm. and it's terrifying, but you know, I wasn't expecting that. That was something I didn't know that I would have to suffer through. You know, it was just a complete surprise, and it sucked. I was like, I don't like this. Like, this guy is scary. And not in like any way that like makes me want to do better. In fact, it made me super sketched out by the way that he was treating me. So I was like, you know what? I'm good, you know? And then I had three apprenticeships, but my second one was when I was 24. And it was introduced to me by a woman who I went to college with, who was tattooing there as well. And her work was great. I trusted her artwork. She was such a sweet person. And mm-hmm. the tattoo shop had like a really great history in the city. So I was like, all right, you know, like, let's go try this out. I came around, I showed him my artwork. I hung out at the shop a couple of times. And then finally he accepted me in an apprenticeship. And then it was grueling. It was like, I would work 7 days a week for months. Like, I was with him for 7 months, and I never once saw him set up his tattoo machine because he refused to let me. Instead, I was basically being an unpaid manager for the shop, like running all the emails, like ordering all the inventory, like sweeping and cleaning, doing all the basic like bitch duties that you're asked to do as an apprentice, which I didn't mind doing. But it was the fact that he treated me so awfully. Like, it was like I was doing all this work, I was going above and beyond what I was supposed to do, and he's still treating me like I was scum. And that's not something that like I respond to well. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't have a great
who would
you know? Like, exactly, for sure. And it's also the fact that like I didn't have a great upbringing. Like, my mom was great, don't get me wrong, but my dad was a very abusive person. Mm-hmm. And that's not a secret, like, we all know this. So it's like, you know, I would have flashbacks of like how my dad would talk to me whenever I was doing everything I could to make things right. And like, I was just like, you know what? I don't fucking need this anymore. And I quit. I quit in a boiling rage.
Sure.
And I was like, I'm never going to, I basically just gave up my one chance at tattooing. And it was the most hurtful thing that I had ever experienced. And then a year and a half later, the person who basically got me out of the really bad first situation, who's my mentor, Leif Olson, he opened his own shop, and he was like, hey, are you still tattooing? And I was like, no, I'm not. He was like, well, I'm looking for an apprentice, and I could think of no one better, so let's do this. And I'm like, fuck yeah. So,
oh, wow. So cool.
Yeah.
What was his name? Like, say it again.
Leif Olson.
Olson. And that's in Florida?
He's between Badfellow Tattoo in South Florida, Pompano Beach area, and he's also in North Carolina at, oh my God, the name is escaping me, but I'll figure
it
out soon.
That's okay. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure we mentioned, since you're saying he's helped save you, I guess.
No, 100%.
Get you on the right, you know, the right path, and was treating you with respect, then, I'm assuming.
Definitely. Absolutely.
So good. Yay. There are men that are awesome, right?
No, absolutely.
In the industry. I know. It's just that we're talking about this so much to raise awareness. And yet I know that, you know, I don't want to leave any men feeling like, hey, you know, we love men, right? We love men. They're awesome. They're great. But
absolutely,
there's a lot of people that are toxic as well, especially in this industry. And that's what we're trying to call out.
Oh, absolutely. Predatory men, men that, like, you know, there's one thing that echoes in this entire thing that I've always kind of seen and pointed out, which is there's two separate things. One is that if you're a female in any sort of regard, that you're going to be treated lesser than. But if you happen to be a quote unquote traditionally attractive female, you don't get treated as badly, but you get sexualized,
right?
Which is a completely different form of abuse. And, you know, I try to bring a light to that myself, in the way that I used to be 300 pounds. And I've faced that sort of that sort of part of tattooing to now whenever I've lost like 130 pounds since then. And it's like, you know, I'm kind of experiencing a totally different side of tattooing.
Wow.
And it can be a little, it can be very daunting to like, you know, make friends in the industry and not really know what their intentions are.
Yeah.
But
you're right about that. Yeah. I've experienced that too. Like just to clarify, people being really nice to you and you're just like, I don't know, you know, I don't know how to feel about this right now. Can I trust? And I think I always fall back on trust your instinct, trust your gut, you know, trust
100%.
Your gut. If it doesn't feel good, then get out of there.
Oh, absolutely. Oh my God. And you know, with that said, you know, I also have to reiterate, there are so many beautiful souls out there, beautiful men out there that like actually do give a shit and they are supportive of the female industry, the female side of the industry, and they do everything they can to like, you know,
yes,
to vouch for and champion women in the industry. And those men specifically, like, you know, I think that they should deserve more credit than they're due, for sure.
Yes. Yes. We have a couple of them on the interview series too. So,
oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Because there are some wonderful people, of course, out there. Yay. Okay. Well, cool. Let's talk a little bit more about then when you actually did start working with Leif, what that was like, and then how you transitioned into ending up in New York.
So, working with Leif was amazing, not only in the way that, not in the way of just like learning how to tattoo, but in the environment that we learned how to tattoo in. It's like the shop wasn't a big, massive studio. It was actually like in this really rundown plaza in South Florida. And it was like, we made it our home. You know, it was amazing to go in there every day and be so full of inspiration. Everybody just really, really kind of worked on their art first and then tattoo second. And that was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so great. And Leif is a visual artist himself, and his drawings are incredibly, incredibly inspirational. Like the way that he draws on paper is the same way that he draws on skin. He's one of the most influential freehand artist hands down that I've ever fucking seen. And the way that he turns those freehand drawings on skin into this most amazing and so well done illustrations that last for a lifetime. It's like, it's a treasured keepsake. It's not just a tattoo. And that's all I wanted to do going forward. And so he imbued me with this, like, this incredibly important ideal, which is that you don't just get a tattoo. It's something that is unique. It didn't come from the internet. It was something that was organic from his hand to your arm. And it was something that nobody ever expected the turnout to be as beautiful as it was. But then also the way that he handles and the way that he talks to his clientele, it was a conversation. And you almost always walked away with a lesson. And it varied obviously from like one client to the next, but like, there was never a dull day. Like, it was always a wonderful conversation going on. It wasn't this silent, you know, put on your headphones and duck down. It was.
I love that. Wow.
Me too. And like, you know, it kind of, along with like imbuing me with this idea of like, you know, giving somebody a priceless work of art that they can wear forever, it also imbued me with the idea of empathy and understanding the client and like truly kind of digging into them and like, at least trying to touch with them and let them feel like a human being for once, instead of somebody that just makes you some sort of money, you know, because that's a miserable way to like treat somebody who's not only paying you an exorbitant amount of money, but also somebody that, you know, is going to be wearing your art for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
You want them to remember you. So,
right. And not in a bad way. You want them to.
Yes, exactly.
Experience. And it was incredible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's so cool. So he imbued you with all of this knowledge and information. And then what happened?
So a little while after that, like I wanted to move to New York and I'd always wanted to move here in my 20s. And so I did, you know, I had a friend that lived up here that I had known since I was 15. There was a spot that had opened up in the apartment and I was like, you know what? It's now or never. And I picked up and left, and it didn't go very well for both of us, truth be told, but we made our way through, you know, we worked that out together. But it's something that I can't say that I regret, because I don't. It has become such an important part of me, and I'm glad that I listened to myself, you know?
Yeah.
And since then, we both have gone in different directions. You know, like he found an incredible shop with the Badfellow family in Pompano. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he opened his own studio up in North Carolina. And I feel like it took us kind of like, you know, breaking apart to find what we both wanted, you know, individually. Mm-hmm. And it just so happened to work out that we can still do these things together. You know, I live for the days that, like, you know, we work together, you know, or when he works on me, so we can have these conversations that remind me so much of my, you know, formative tattoo years. And
nice.
It's wonderful. Like, I really am glad that we did that. You know, it might not have been easy in the beginning, but change never really is. So, you know, it's just a part of the growing experience.
Yeah, for sure. And it's amazing that you had such a great mentor after actually experiencing the other situations. It's good that you got that, because one of the things I've been talking about with some of the women artists is the idea of mentoring younger women that are coming into the industry, because of the fact that, you know, when you're 18, 19, 20 years old, you're very vulnerable. And,
yes.
You know, we know, you know, what can happen. And I think it's neat that you actually ended up with someone who was a great mentor for you and still is, apparently.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, since then, I've believed in this saying that I say sometimes, which is that, you know, I think that the tattoo finds the person. Mm-hmm. And in this regard, I find that the mentor and the apprentice find each other. And if it doesn't work out, then you let it go and you move on. It's not the end. You know, like, if something doesn't work out, it's not your only avenue. There are so many other people out there that would be better for you, that, you know, would genuinely give a shit about, like, your prosperity in the industry. And if they don't, then they're in it for the wrong reasons, and you don't want to be around that energy in the first place.
Yeah. That actually speaks to something for me. If I may detour for a slight minute, I live in Oregon, and when here it's actually regulated, and you have to go to tattoo school to become a tattoo artist in Oregon, and in several other states too. I think there's like 4 states. But anyway, so many people have hated on me because of that and made assumptions, and, you know, like, they just think it's this scam or whatever, but it's like, no, it's the state that requires this. And one of the things that I made my mission was to make it a comfortable, gentle place to be, where people feel good and, you know, can go out into the world feeling good about their art. And because I had a pretty not so great experience either with my, you know, my training in the beginning, which still was a school, but it was, you know, 14-ish years ago. And so it's interesting that people just make the assumption. I forgot where I was even going with this, but it's interesting that people make the assumption that just because it's a school, they think they know what that means without actually knowing anything, like not knowing me, not knowing the state, not knowing what we're doing here. Because that was such a big passion of mine to make it a good and comfortable place for people to be. That you could learn, and that the focus is on art, and the focus is on support, and, you know, making the environment something wonderful.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. And I'd like to see that happen in so many other areas. I mean, it's been years for me, but it's so great to talk to all these wonderful people and realize how much it's changing. Yay. You know, with the people now, people that are coming into it now have more options. Like you said, if it doesn't work out for you, find something else that will work. And I'm glad you're talking about this too.
Oh, of course. And also, just to like kind of piggyback on that, like, I also think that the old school way is dying. And I think that that's not something to mourn, because, you know, what we perceive as the quote unquote old school way was actually like introduced by a bunch of like, you know, gang affiliated sort of tattoo artists when it was illegal. And we don't have a place for that right now. Like, we do not have, we shouldn't have a tolerance for that in the industry right now. Granted, you know, like there are plenty of people out there that will say, oh, we do that to weed the people who just want to make money out. But you know what? Those people are going to weed themselves out when they realize just how fucking tedious and how physically exhausting and emotionally and mentally exhausting this job can be. The people that are in it for the wrong reasons will fade out. It doesn't matter. But the But the way that we treat people and the way that this whole hazing situation has gone on for far too long, that's also dying. And it's making way for more progressive and more inclusive shops and mindsets to be, you know, kind of implemented. And I think that that in itself is something to be celebrated. And that speaks to, you know, your situation in which, you know, like Oregon state rules is that like you are supposed to go to a tattoo school. And when people say the word tattoo school, it goes back to that old school mentality of like, yeah. Oh no, we need people to go through fire and brimstone in order to be a true tattoo artist. It's like, all right, the same way that you think that a true tattoo is like bold will hold whenever there's so many other influential ways that people are tattooing nowadays. But you know what? You stick to that, I guess.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Yeah, definitely. Wow. You are totally speaking my language. For real.
I do that now.
Yeah, this is exactly what I am all about right now. It's just tattooing is not one size fits all. So
it's not.
And on that note, let's talk about inclusion of women and people of color and the LGBTQ community.
100%.
What are your thoughts on that?
Holy shit. More, please.
Yes.
Well, like I have noticed that there have been a lot more women in the industry. And maybe, I mean, like, I've only been doing this for about 8 years. It feels like I'm still a baby. Like I'm pretty sure that before this, there were women in the industry too. But the beautiful thing about what's going on now is that through the progression of tattoos being like seen as like this very socially acceptable thing, whereas before like 10, 15 years ago, it was kind of still a little shady. Mm-hmm. We have made way for women to be themselves. And that doesn't mean just as like, you know, just artistically or like tattoo wise, but like how they dress, how they express themselves. They have like this incredible avenue to be whoever they want, whether that's somebody who identifies as like a butch lesbian or like somebody who identifies as a very feminine, you know, like very sexual, like, mm-hmm. you know, sort of woman. There's nothing wrong with either of those. There's nothing wrong with anything in between. If you don't wear makeup, that's totally acceptable and that's totally fine. Whereas before, I feel like if you wanted to make it in the tattoo industry as a woman, you basically had to wear your sexuality on your sleeve in order to be like the face of something sexual. And we don't have to do that anymore, at least in like worthwhile studios. That is something that you know, and if that is a thing where somebody tells you, like we mentioned this in the interview, the Inked interview that you mentioned, Megan Massacre, one of the people in that conversation was saying that she was very much advised to wear makeup and low cut shirts and all this stuff when she first started. And I was also advised that I should wear more makeup and I should lose weight and I should do all this. And I was like, I'm not trying to fuck anybody. Right. I am trying to do my art, you know, and that doesn't matter about what I look like. You don't even know if I'm a man or a woman most of the time when you walk through the door, because my name is so androgynous. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you know, I hate the expectation. I've always hated the expectation that women are supposed to be ornamental. I fight actively against that every fucking day, and I will until I die.
I love that. But I've heard from so many people that like when they were in the shop, they're standing at the front counter and someone will walk up and say, can I see the tattoo artist?
Yeah, 100%. And they're
like, you know, yeah, that's me.
Yeah, exactly. I had when I was working in Bensonhurst, I actually had a man walk through the door and he was like, oh, can I talk to the tattoo artist? And I was like, oh, that's me. And he was like, wait, women tattoo? And I'm like, are you fucking serious right now? Like, of course they do. This was like 3 years ago, by the way.
Oh,
this wasn't that long ago.
Oh my gosh.
And he proceeded to get a wonderful cover up from me. And I saw him again after. And I'm just like, yeah, hopefully you'll you know, shelve that belief, buddy. But one thing I will add on to that is that there has been even now, there is a huge discrepancy in the amount of people who are tattooists of color and people who are in the LGBTQ community that are not giving their comeuppances in the industry. There's a lot that goes into that. And I think that with the political activism that we're experiencing this year, it's become even more prominent of a reason why these things are being ignored. It's not only because of like, you know, sexual orientation, but like, it's the fact that we don't give people who are a different skin tone, a chance in a tattoo shop. And that's not to speak for every tattoo shop. Obviously there are so many amazing shops that are being manned by incredible, incredible people of color. like Oba Jackson at Push Studios in, mm-hmm. You know, like he's amazing and his work is incredible. That studio is incredible. Doreen Gardner, she is an incredible, oh my God, she's such an amazing intellectual person. Like I love her podcast, Mad Pain. And her tattoo work speaks so, and I'm going to say the word aggressively because it's a good thing.
Yeah.
It speaks so aggressively for her beliefs. And I think we need more of that. It's one of those things where they're kind of like, oh, you're not going to take me into your shop. Well, fuck you. I'm going to make my own way through. And I love that.
And I've heard many.
These are the people.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Lost you there for a sec. I've heard many people say that they ended up having to be self-taught because of that exact reason.
And that does not surprise me. And it's very unfortunate.
Yeah, it is, because there's so much to learn at the beginning that could, that easily could be learned, not talking about style or whatever, but just like the actual physical, application of tattooing. And then if they have to struggle through all of that, trying to figure out needle depth and I don't know, whatever, on mm-hmm. their own, and especially sanitation and safety, that's a passion of mine too. Sucks. We'll just say it sucks.
Absolutely. It's an abomination, honestly. It's like you're literally denying a person's like active passion. Like they clearly have talent, they have the passion, they have the drive, and you're denying them for whatever like pre-installed idea of what, like success is based on your skin color. It's ridiculous. And it's something that I am actively 100% against. Mm-hmm. I think that this year has sucked for a lot of reasons, but one of the most important outcomes is the fact that we are highlighting this completely ridiculous discrepancy that has been carrying on in our industry, in the world, but also in our industry for, since the beginning. And I think that this is also an important conversation to have, and mm-hmm. I feel like, I'm half Egyptian, so mm-hmm. I don't really feel like I have, I'm white showing, I'm white presenting. So I don't feel like I have the platform to be speaking about these things, but it is important to bring awareness to these things, because mm-hmm. if we don't talk about it, it doesn't get talked about. And, I think that the tattoo industry is changing rapidly and we are way more progressive than we ever have been, but we can't just lean on that and expect that to be like a whole band-aid put on top of it.
Right.
We need to have deeper discussions about these things
and to keep talking. Yeah. And I think the thing is, like for me, having been in it for 14 years and having started with, a lot of more of the harsher old school and yes, white males, influencing mm-hmm. me, we'll say in the beginning, I too, like a lot of other people, was like, I want to be respected. I just want to be liked. I just want to, mm-hmm. Be taken seriously. And then I just had to throw all that out the window, because it's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how much you bend over backwards. You're going to get haters. You're going to get people that, don't respect what you're doing. And it's like, I totally agree. This conversation needs to be had by loads of people, really mm-hmm. get it out there, and let's, raise the voices of the people that are saying these things. And to stop being afraid, stop being fearful, because that's, I think, what stopped me for the longest time, was being afraid of like, will it affect my reputation or, something to have a school, so I guess for me, mm-hmm. Having been cyberbullied, which I've talked about on a couple of other interviews, was surprising and challenging and hard not to take personally, but it also was something that spurred me on to say, F you, if
Absolutely.
You don't like my art, you don't have to like it. It's fine. Anyway,
I agree with you. And, just to like add on to that real quick, I had a conversation with my boss, mm-hmm. Maddie Marcus, who's an amazing human. One of my favorite human beings ever. And we were talking about confidence and, how confidence shows in like the way that we talk about ourselves and in our work and things like that. And he was like, I just want to make sure that you are confident in your work. And I'm like, that's a tricky thing for me, because what makes me good isn't the fact that like I have an ego about myself, but I'm constantly thinking that I can do better, and that what I can do is like, I can make I can make a great tattoo and I can still pull it apart and make sure that, like, you know, I could do this better. I could have done that better. You know, mm-hmm. I could have reacted this way. You know, I could have done this way. And I think it's important to think about those things. But at the same time, confidence comes from knowing that you don't need anybody else's approval except for the people that you're working for, including your clients and your boss.
Right, exactly.
And yourself. And everybody else can go fuck themselves. Like, it's right. It's a pretty hard lesson to learn, especially in the beginning when you just want to be taken seriously and not be seen as just an ornamental woman or, like, you know, you don't have to hide anything. You can just simply be yourself. And that is the true, that's the true completion of the word, you know, confidence. But I find that when with women, we're constantly having that struggle of whether or not we are being appreciated for, you know, the work that we do, or if there's something else that's leading that into that, whether that's our image or whether that's a maternal sort of, like, you know, personality that we exhibit. Because let's be real here. Most of the time, and I am speaking very generally and I'll admit that, but most of the time when you are having an experience with a female tattoo artist, it is usually a great experience compared to a male tattoo artist. And I only say this because with male tattoo artists, there is historically a lot more ego. And I'm sure that a lot of people wouldn't like me saying this, but it's very true. And it's talked about quite often where, you know, men have had this easy ride where they can just be, you know, buddies, and they can be crass and rude and vulgar. And when a woman does it, they're seen as like, oh, that's unprofessional or that's weird. You know, it's just like, no, fuck you, man. This is exactly what you're getting, you know? But at the same time, we understand how hard it can be to, like, get to where we are. So we're a lot more empathetic to our clientele to a certain extent. That's not to say that there aren't asshole women out there by any means, you know, like, of course there are. And there are wonderful men, as we've said, you know, but, like, when you think about the majority of the experiences that are had, it's a lot more cavalier with men than it is with women because we've had to suffer twice as hard just based on our gender identity and based on the way that we have had to kind of ask for respect instead of deserving and earning our respect.
Yeah, that's so interesting. One of the other speakers, Jake Meeks, who's the guy who started the Fireside Tattoo Network, he's a super, super awesome, very generous man. Anyway, he mentioned that he notices that women have in the past have felt like they have to dress up or they have to do whatever, you know, to be respected. And he's like, and I just show up and wear my sweatpants and,
100%.
You know, and nobody's going to say anything to me, you know? And I loved that he was able to see that too. It is interesting though. It's such a large conversation and it's going on in so many areas, you know, including in Hollywood and other, you know, things, but, it's like they say about the pendulum, when it's way swung over to one side, it's eventually going to swing way to the other side and then finally come and settle in the middle. And I feel like this is the time that that pendulum's swinging way over so that we all can talk about this, you know, and say things like what you're saying, oh, people aren't going to like me saying this. Well, people aren't going to like me saying a lot of the things I've been saying either, but it needs to be said. It needs to be brought to people's attention for sure. And I appreciate that you're willing to do that as well.
Oh, absolutely. You know, like I don't want to say that, like, you know, I don't take any pleasure in it whatsoever. And I don't want to point the finger at a complete gender and say, you're the problem because it's not the gender. It's the way that society has built up these gender roles. And it's the way that we are slowly breaking them down over time. So it's not men that are the problem. It is the societal ideal of what men represent.
Right.
It's the toxic masculinity that comes with that societal pressure on men. And it is the societal pressure that comes from women waking up and not wanting to wear dresses every day and not wanting to, like, you know, be wives to every, you know, husband, you know, it doesn't, we don't have to be married in order to, like, you know, have a future anymore. And we don't have to follow these societal norms that we were imprinted upon from the dawn of time. We're breaking out of them. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the whole of history, the past 100 years specifically are the only time in which we have been breaking out of those rules in very untraditional ways. And it's only been 100 years. So when I say these things, what I mean to say is that we are fighting against, we're fighting against these traditions, these really and draconian traditions, and we're finding our way through in some really beautiful ways. And I think that one of the most important things we could do for ourselves and society is open this conversation and talk about these things with care and with great empathy and, you know, and generosity even. But it's hard for a lot of people to acknowledge the fact that they've been privileged their entire lives just based on what's between their legs. And I think that that is intensely unfair. And I think that even when they do get upset, they're acknowledging that there's an unfairness in that. Mm-hmm. So it's, yeah, I think it's interesting. You know, we're actually living through a very interesting point in time right now, and I'm here for it. I want those discussions to be had, whether they're taken poorly or well, you know, it doesn't matter. It's the point that we're having them.
And they will be, of course, they will be taken by some people. But you'll be happy to know, and you probably already know this, that there are a lot of amazing and wonderful new people getting involved in the industry, setting up beautiful shops and beautiful spaces and really focused on client experience. And even to the point where some of the women I've talked to are creating almost like a spirituality, almost a sacred space kind of as well, kind of going along with tattooing. And that might sound woo-woo to some people, but you know, it's just really interesting that it's changing so much that people are feeling freer, as like you were saying, to be themselves, to say it's okay, that I'm all right to say that I, or to wear whatever clothes I want to wear, or to have my hair however, or, you know, what's weird too in this industry, because it would be that you, if you have crazy hair or piercings or tons of tattoos or crazy clothes or whatever, that that's more the acceptable thing. It's actually sometimes more challenging to be someone who's wearing a suit or a, you know, a sports coat.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? And you're not as crazy looking, or I don't know. I don't even know. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
No, I totally understand what you're saying. It's like you're actually more normalized. I have a friend who is actually very, very littlely. He's very minimally tattooed. And actually, if you were just looking at him standing when he's wearing shorts and a t-shirt, you couldn't identify any of his tattoos. Mm-hmm. But he's one of the most remarkable tattoo artists, you know, that I know. And it's really interesting to me that, like, you know, we have come up with this preconceived idea for what a tattoo artist should look like, that we don't trust anybody who doesn't look like that.
Well,
so
you
I
know,
can understand that.
It's funny because some of my former students were talking about the black shirt club because, you know, so many tattoo artists wear black. And when you go to a convention, you see black everywhere. And it's like, nope, it doesn't have to be that way either. It just doesn't, you know, I love, okay, there's another lady who I'm interviewing tomorrow, the next day. Her name is Imani K. Brown. And she, you should check her out on Instagram. She is absolutely wonderful. Crazy clothes. Like you were talking about when you were little and you liked Sailor Moon, you know, glitter and fun and color and all these things. And I was just in awe. It inspired me so much because that is a little bit more like my personality. But I, of course, coming from where I've come from, have been afraid to show that side of myself, you know, too feminine. You know what I mean? Like it's too feminine. Or you can't, you know, you in your tattoo shop, you're expected to be listening to hard rock or something. You can't listen to jazz or Disney songs, which is what I love to listen to. And there's almost an embarrassment, like, to be feminine or something, which I need to change. I mean, I'm changing my, you know, my own thinking around that, but it's neat to see other people doing so much to change it.
Well, Shelley, like, I think that there's no better time than the present to actually express who you are. And, and this goes out to everybody who thinks that way as well. My partner, actually, we just talked about this. It was actually it's beautiful timing where I'm a huge advocate for people being themselves. Like I think that there's a freedom that comes from that, and it helps you become even more of a genuine person to help other people through your craft. So if you want to wear something super outrageously sparkly and it doesn't match anything else in your wardrobe, I'm actually going to dare you to do it because it matters.
I love that.
You have no idea. It matters so much. It's like, I'm part of the black shirt club. Like I'm not ashamed of that, but I also have incredibly glittery things that I wear on the side, you know, like, I love pastels. I love glitter. I love holographic prints. Like, they're so beautiful. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's scary breaking out of your normal, you know, like people have this preconceived idea of who you are. And then, you know, you're like, no, I kind of want to do this. And you do it. Yeah. And you'll find that the reaction isn't as crazy as you think it's going to be. And if it is, then, you know, fuck them. At least right. you feel good and you're releasing yourself. And I encourage that whether you're in the tattoo industry or not, you know, be your goddamn self, because you, there's only one of you, and you should live it as genuinely, as fulfillingly as you've ever wanted to, because you owe it to yourself. So you go wear that colorful stuff. I want to see a picture.
You're very inspiring today, Jenna.
I do my damn best.
I love it so much. We're getting close to the end of our time. We probably have about 5 more minutes, but do you want to talk a little bit about boundaries in tattooing? You had mentioned.
Absolutely.
Before. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So boundaries are like one of my favorite topics, including, you know, self-expression. But so, especially to the women in the industry, both novices and experts alike, you know, I have found that with women specifically in the industry, it is so hard for us to ask exactly for what we want and what we don't want. And it's for fear of looking like, you know, somebody who's a bossy bitch, which mm-hmm. I don't think is a problem. but also to look like you're high maintenance, which I also don't think is a problem. Mm-hmm. I think that asking for what you want and telling people what you don't want to do are some of the most distinct things you could do to preserve yourself and to save yourself from trouble. So if you don't feel comfortable with the way that somebody's talking to you, you can stop them and be like, hey, listen, I don't want this to escalate, but you're making me feel a little uncomfortable. Whether that's because they're changing their mind on a design all the time, or because they are being aggressive, mm-hmm. or they're being inappropriate, like they're reaching out to you on a personal social media account. And right, they're, you know, yeah. they're saying things that have nothing to do with tattoos. You have every fucking right to say, this is not cool. Do not talk to me this way. And you can say it just like that, and it will not be a problem. You do not have to like smooth it out or make it crystal, you know, or make it like soft. You know, you can be very clear yes. about where your boundaries are. And I guarantee you that if the person respects you as an artist, they will understand, they will not fight back, and they will adhere to your boundary, because boundaries are the only way that we preserve ourselves mm-hmm. as people. And nobody knows where those boundaries are unless you tell them.
Right.
So it's not only important to voice those boundaries for them, but it's also for you to understand where you stand with things. And I find that women are so, like, not all women, obviously, especially in our industry, there's so many different personalities. But one of my biggest concerns is that it's hard for women to say no, or mm-hmm. to like be in a place where they're clearly uncomfortable, but they're trying to preserve their professionality. You should be able to say, fuck off. Do not talk to me that way. I am not that person. This is a professional environment and you have no right.
Absolutely.
And I find that like men try to take advantage of women in that way. Male clients specifically, you know, like there have been many times where I've had people reaching out to me inappropriately, showing me inappropriate pictures, or mm-hmm. telling me that, you know, like they want to get something in a very personal space mm-hmm. when I never even consulted them.
Right.
And it's like, excuse you know what you're doing, and this is disgusting. I want no part in this, you know, or, if your boss, and this does not apply to me whatsoever. My bosses are fucking amazing. I have never had such amazing, supportive people in my life, but in the past I have worked with people who were predators, who were preying on women that came into the shop and like, were totally just trying to get them to do sexual favors in order for tattoos. And, you know, it was something that we didn't really learn about until far after I had left that shop, but stories were coming out and it all made sense. And one of the things that I was so keenly disgusted with was the way that like they would coerce women into being vulnerable and putting them in these vulnerable states and then asking them to do inappropriate things. Mm-hmm. And they would do it because they felt vulnerable and they didn't know how to say no. So one of the most important things after that moment was to say, absolutely not. That is not acceptable in any sort of way. Yeah. You have a right to say no. If you feel uncomfortable, you walk away, and it's not, being polite will kill you if you don't understand that, like, you have to break that cycle too. It goes back to gender roles, mm-hmm. you know, antiquated gender roles where we're supposed to be these very meek, you know, good girls don't talk, you know, like type personality. And you should definitely speak up. So
Hey, I'm getting to the point. I love that so much. I'm getting to the point now where even when I'm walking down the street and somebody's like, hey, honey, or sweetie, or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I just turn around, look them straight in the eye and just say, I am not your fucking sweetie. You know, just turn and walk away. Because, you know, they even 10, 12 years ago would be like, oh, they're just from a different time. And that's just, mm-hmm. you know, how they, whatever. And it's like, no, you know what? Okay, fine. They did. But now it's time to learn. It's time Absolutely. To learn that I don't want anyone calling me sweetheart except for my partner. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You I know. I know. Permission. Now we're getting all fiery and feisty, aren't we?
I'm okay with it. Bring it. But yeah, no, it's true. Yeah. You have autonomy and you are allowed to give permission to whoever you want to treat you like that.
Absolutely.
But that does yes. not extend itself to complete strangers, and they need yeah. to fucking be put in their place in that way. So.
Okay. I love it. Oh my God. I feel like we could talk for like 2 hours. This is awesome.
I am
so
for it.
Good. I'm so glad I met you. So is there anything else that you want to share? Like that I maybe didn't ask you, something that is burning that you want to tell people, or what would you say, you know, for newcomers coming in to the industry? I mean, you said a lot already, but.
Well, I mean, if I'm just going to like pop in like little tiny kernels at the end, it would be true to yourself. And I know that that might sound cliche and, uh-huh. and, you know, very, you know, whatever, but like, it's so true. Be completely honest with yourself. If there are things that you know that you need to work on, like, and everybody does, it's not a problem. Work on it. If there are things that are holding you back, there's a saying that I read the other day that I will pass on, which is, if you don't fix what cut you, you'll bleed all over the people who didn't cut you. So,
I love that. Yeah.
So, you know, going forward, if you have had trauma or if you have had issues in the past of like, you know, things that are preventing you from being your full self, seek help, yes. figure that out so you can be the best person you can be, because this industry will take advantage of that. Most yes. industries will.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. And you know, just to add to that, I'm sure. a huge, huge, huge believer in counseling and therapy and getting help. Yes, it's so incredible. And I've watched it transform so many lives, including my own. So, you know, if that's Same. The thing that's holding you back, you know, the mentality, or I'm sorry, the mindset stuff, or, you know, you don't know how to set boundaries, or you have a lot of trauma, or you've already been through a lot, and that's holding you back from being a tattoo artist or being the artist that you want to be. Get help.
Do Absolutely.
Get coaching.
Oh my God.
You
know? Yes.
Yeah.
And also, one other thing I will add into that, which, a lot of people might fight me over, but I don't care. if you are fresh into this tattoo industry, and I'm going to say this very, very bluntly,
okay.
Do not shit where you eat. Do not fuck anybody in that shop, and yeah. be very, very careful about the people who treat you like that is going to get you ahead. Mm-hmm. I know that this is something that a lot of people have feelings over, but it is the one thing I've never done it myself, but I've seen it ruin. And I mean, ruin shops before.
Yes, I have.
And if you want to, if this tattoo work means more to you than, you know, a temporary pleasure or something that could, you know, possibly turn into something, if you are really interested in somebody in your shop, I would advise that you go to another shop or they go to another shop, and then you can pursue it further, but do mm-hmm. not do it while you are in the vicinity of the person at the same shop. You will ruin things, and it's, yeah. and it will also work against you. You don't want that. You want to be seen as a professional. So act like one, you know, it's
Absolutely.
So important.
Yes. Yes. Good. And that's yeah. a great piece of advice.
Those are the kernels that I have.
Yes. I like it. Very nice. I think that you are going to be very supportive in helping people create their radiant tattoo careers. I really appreciate everything you've said today. So you have a little free gift for our audience too. You want to describe what that is?
Sure. Yeah. So I have a digital print available for people to download. It is one of my drawings. And if you like it, if you like spooky ghosty nonsense, then maybe you can print it off and frame it up and you know, yeah. show me if you want. That'd be great.
Oh, that would be so cool. I didn't even think about that. So for the listeners, you can go on the event page, or sorry, the interview page, and just click right next to Janda's photo, and there will be a link there that has the places where you can follow and also how to get her digital art. And yeah, if you want to show her after you've printed it and framed it or hold it up and show her, whatever, you could tag her or something in that, right?
Give that me, would be fun. Yeah.
That would be fun. All right. Yay. What a sensationally awesome conversation today. And
yeah.
I can't wait to talk to you again. I've got all kinds of ideas now for us to talk about things in the future.
Oh, I'm fucking psyched. This was such a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, absolutely. I'm so grateful for you to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Of course. My pleasure.
To our listeners, your next interview will be delivered to your inbox. And don't forget, you have access for a full 7 days after each interview is released to listen. I look forward to joining you in our next session. Until then, be feisty, stay kind, and get creative.